Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Our guest today, James Bennett. James, great to meet you. Please tell us where you are in the world and what you do for a living.
I'm in Costa Rica right now.
Awesome.
And I'm the founder and brand architect for Not Coffee Co.
Amazing. So can you tell me a little bit about your background? I know I saw it derail the Not Coffee, but I know you have the Oasis Adaptogenics too. And you know what's funny about that is I actually saw the website and I saw that and I was like, the Not Coffee is a great idea for like kind of like its own brand. So that's really funny that that clearly is the case. So Can you tell us a little bit about your background and what kind of led you up to getting into the adaptogenic space and also, you know, specifically with the Not Coffee brand as well?
For sure. So I've been an entrepreneur all my life since as long as I can remember. I started out on the playground flipping elastic bracelets all the way into headphones and sneakers and kind of really anything that I could get my hands on. And from there, I started a few different businesses online doing drop shipping and influencer marketing. And then that led me into the agency world when I was in college. Out of college, I started working at a brand agency, working with different CPG brands. And then that really fueled my like obsession with branding and CPG especially. And then I had a major health shift that kind of really shook my life up. One, I was going through my own mental health battles, and then I lost a friend to a heart attack at only 20 years old, which really just shook my whole perspective of life, thinking that I was this invincible early 20-year-old to now realizing like, damn, I really have to take my health seriously and start considering what I'm putting into my body. And that really kind of shifted my whole paradigm. Started looking at the things that I was fueling myself with caffeine every day and realizing that that was one of the main problems main kind of stimulants of all the problems that I was facing. So tried to cut caffeine, realized how addicted I really was. And it was actually at my friend's funeral where I bumped into my co-founder, Jeremy, and he had just gotten back from Asia and discovered adaptogens and how they helped him quit coffee. And he introduced me to breath work and meditation and all these other things and paired it with Not Coffee. And so I've kind of brought my background in branding, and he brought his background in formulation, and he's also an entrepreneur. And we decided to kind of bring our minds together and create Not Coffee Co. with the mission really to help as many people as we can quit their caffeine addiction and get off coffee. Mostly background in e-commerce, branding. I was heavily involved in like the Web3 and crypto space kind of a few years ago, and really became obsessed with honestly, I've gone through kind of phases of obsession with different kind of things that I dive into on the community side and how communities can really fuel brands. And yeah, Not Coffee is really kind of the culmination of all those different categories coming together into one really powerful, impactful business.
That's awesome. So I know you've been kind of like more background in e-commerce. Is that the main channel that you sell everything in Not Coffee through right now?
Yeah. Yeah, e-commerce, and then we're really going heavily into TikTok Shop as well.
Nice. Yeah. I've heard TikTok Shop. I mean, I feel like there's been some things over the years that have been really popular on there. For some reason, it's something that's been coming up, it seems like, more in the conversations I've been having more recently. Did you notice was there any changes that kind of led you to, you know, getting into TikTok Shop now, or maybe rather than like, you know, a couple years back? Or what kind of changes did you see on that platform that led you to, you know, wanting to be on the TikTok Shop?
Yeah, so I mean, I wish that we would have been on there earlier. It only really was introduced into the US early 2023 or kind of mid 2023, and that was right when we were going through this whole rebrand with Not Coffee. So you'd mentioned Oasis Adaptogens. Not Coffee originally was built within Oasis, and then I was really adamant to Jeremy of like, we need to turn this into its own brand. It needs to be bold and rebellious. And right around March of 2023 was when we started to go through that whole rebrand and redevelopment. So I wish we would have gotten on sooner. It was really like, as soon as we had the product ready to go, we launched onto TikTok Shop, kind of ran into some operational challenges and stuff, which I feel like we'll probably get into later on. But that was honestly, the TikTok Shop was very much like the first channel that I wanted to focus on. It's very rare that you get the chance to get onto a platform that early and be able to kind of take advantage of that virality. So yeah, I still think that the buzz hasn't died off. It's still going to continue to boom, and we're starting to pick up momentum on there too. So it's exciting.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I know you have kind of a background with, you know, digital marketing and things like that too. So What kind of channels are you operating in as far as, you know, your marketing efforts go, driving revenue to either the TikTok Shop, this new, or you know, just your general direct to consumer business and your websites? Are you deploying any like traditional channels with like, you know, paid ads or like the more traditional route? I mean, are you doing kind of more on social media? What is kind of your like general, you know, go-to-market strategy as far as your like online advertising is concerned?
Yeah, so my first digital experience was in SEO, or my first agency experience was SEO. So that's definitely the foundation. I think really getting the organic down solid from very early stages is where my mind goes at the beginning. So I've been planting the seeds for SEO. That's really a long game. But once you can build a moat around SEO, it's like nothing really beats it. So that was the first priority, was getting wrapped around an SEO. It's still pushing towards that every month. And then TikTok Shop, we're doing tons of affiliates, different paid ads, video shopping ads. We're trying to be mindful. I've made mistakes of kind of trying to spread and go every channel all at once. And right now with this brand is really creating the case study of like, if we put all of our focus into one channel, how far we can go with it. And then once we reach our milestones that we have set, then we start to kind of expand it out. We have some activity going on Instagram, kind of just more as like brand play, just to kind of show what the brand vibe is about. And then, yeah, affiliates and influencers and running all of that through the TikTok shop. And then our organic just pushes through to our Shopify. So those are kind of our two kind of main routes that we're going.
That's awesome. And then, so obviously, you know, I feel like this adaptogenic space has been something that's been really on the rise in the past few years. So, you know, it seems like everybody from every demographic is kind of interested in like coffee alternatives and alternatives to kind of everything right now, like more traditional, you know, things we used to consume as far as coffee, tea, high caffeine. I feel like people are looking for alternatives to that. So, but what do you find is more of your, like, what is kind of your target market? And what have you kind of found is your actual market of people that are seem to be most interested in the brand?
Yeah. So the customer obsession is honestly where my, like, where I focus as much as I can. Every brand that I've ever created has always been something that I would buy and something that I know that my friends would buy. And that's where it's makes it way easier to develop the brand when I can know that I would relate with the customer and I can just put myself in their shoes. So really being empathic and being able to understand, okay, what is the problem that people like me are also facing and what would be a solution to that? So the working professional, entrepreneur, student, those kind of three kind of core pillars, people that are working really hard, have a high demand for themselves, hold themselves to a high expectation in terms of output and productivity. Those are really our people that we really are focusing in on. And then people that overall want to improve their wellness. They know the things that they should be doing, but it's still challenging. There's certain habits that they're working on eliminating. Caffeine being one of the biggest habits in the world. Over 90% of young adults and adults in the world are consuming caffeine every day and coffee every day. So that seemed like a very like easy kind of route to access, is if we can not try to convince people, hey, you need to quit coffee completely, but show, hey, let's change this habit into something that's more of a ritual that's actually nourishing for you and not taking away from you. That's really how we've kind of angled this whole thing, and really focusing on those people that want to be more productive, want to be more clear-headed, want to get a good sleep and recognize the value of those things. And we don't have to try to convince them, hey, you need to be getting better sleep, or hey, this is why you should be productive. It's more the people that already know those things and want that for themselves, and just showing them, hey, here's a simple path to help you get there.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And I'm curious too, like, you obviously had some success in the US market. Are you doing anything outside of the US? So you're in Costa Rica right now. So do you have any markets like in the, you know, kind of outside the US, in Canada, Mexico, Europe, or even like in Asian markets or anything like that?
Yeah, so we started in Canada. We're both, myself and my co-founder, are from Canada. So that was where we planted Oasis, that we really proved out the product there, but then also realized really that the US is where brands can be built to really grow rapidly. Just the size of LA is pretty much bigger than all of Canada in terms of population density. So it makes way more sense to launch the product there. We've had some customers from like Sweden and France and different parts of Europe, but we're not really pushing any marketing out those ways. Definitely in the near future, we plan to expand and go across the water. And we've had some demand from Australia, but really keeping our focus has been the biggest thing so far, is just narrowing in on kind of smaller geographics and not even trying to go spread out across the whole US, but narrowing into kind of some of the smaller cities and building out that virality is our goal right now.
That's awesome. And have you looked into, you know, kind of a wholesaling market or private labeling or anything like that? I know it seems like you're pretty direct to consumer e-com still based right now, but have you had any opportunities to do that? Like, what kind of made you decide to really stick with the e-commerce for the time being?
We've gone into retail in Canada and kind of tested the waters there. We still have some retail partners operating within Canada, some smaller ones in the US as well. And then we've had quite a bit of demand when we were in trade shows from people that want to private label our product as well. Our formula is honestly too good to try and to even offer it to anyone. That's really our selling point, is once people taste it and feel it, they know we're the best in the category. So we're really angling it around, like, we are the most premium product. We're not the cheapest. We're not trying to be the most affordable. We know that we're the most premium. So trying to go, we've turned down offers from like Sprouts and Whole Foods and some major affiliate marketing companies that want a private label. And now we're open to doing wholesale, but really right now it's just building a moat around the brand and creating that demand from wholesale so that they're coming to us rather than us trying to push and pay to get on the shelf. But definitely, like, tail end of this year, going going into the cold season in December-ish is when we'll be pushing into more like Erewhon and Mothers and Moms and those kind of stores, but no near-term plans to push big box. That's also part of kind of like our long-term strategy is being primed for kind of a larger partnership that we can roll it into distribution, but just really making sure that we're focused D2C, we're focused on high margin, being profitable, not trying to go after the 2021 e-commerce D2C model where it's like just pump revenue for revenue. We're focusing on profitability, sustainable growth, building a community, building a strong brand, and allowing that to ripple out.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. And I'm curious still a little bit more about, you know, where like Oasis kind of turned into this not coffee brand. What were you finding, you know, when you were selling the not coffee brand through the Oasis kind of like overarching brand? Was it just like most popular, getting like kind of the best like reviews from that? Or, you know, what was kind of the shift between doing the whole Oasis line of products to really focusing on just the not coffee itself?
Yeah, so Oasis always had the foundational vision to bring the world into harmony is really the overarching vision and create the world's best adaptogen products. So it wasn't necessarily intended to be an adaptogen brand. It was more meant to be the formulator and the creator of the best adaptogen products in the world. And so the initial formula was a capsule, and that one did really, really well. Tons of reviews. People, it was changing people's lives. People were mentioning how it completely changed their nervous system, how they approached the world, like their stress levels, everything, their sleep. And from there, that was when kind of this whole transition into herbal drinks and stuff was happening. And when Jeremy had started to formulate the not coffee formula, that started to pick up momentum really quickly. That was kind of right also around when Mudwater started doing a major push, which was definitely helpful for us in the category of them spending millions and hundreds millions of dollars on ads. So that also just created demand for that category in general. And we've always really angled it necessarily as well of being like, we're the superior product. We're in a similar category, but overall more potent, more premium ingredients and so on. Oasis kind of got a little bit distracted by trying to create a brand and try to go, it kind of tailored itself towards this not coffee product, introduced the matcha. And then the overall Oasis brand was very much like a earthy and wellness and kind of the Whole Foods mom aesthetic, which it worked for the matcha especially, but it just felt like from day one, it felt like not coffee has this opportunity to be bold and rebellious and really like pick a fight against coffee and be this edgy, kind of more humorous, dark brand. And I was kind of pushing for that. I was initially an advisor with Oasis and then kind of piece by piece got more involved. And then it was March last year where I was having a conversation with Jeremy and we were in a brainstorm and he was like, okay, fine. Like I'm ready to let you run the ship and build Not Coffee out. And that was really like the pivotal moment of really allowing Not Coffee to fly on its own and setting itself up to be this powerful, rebellious brand, while still allowing Oasis to be this formulator and creator of the best adaptogen products, but not necessarily try to brand itself or try to make itself retail facing. More now we've adjusted that to be more like an incubator and marketplace and formulator for adaptogen product.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Cause like I said, in the beginning of the call, I mean, either went on the website, I saw it was like glowing. It was like screaming at me, the not coffee like thing on the landing page of the website. I was like, that's awesome. Like I love that. I could see this being its own big thing. And I thought of Mudwater, you know, being that like very specific product. Like I saw that, I was like, yeah, like there's a space for this to be like its own like living, breathing thing. So yeah, it's kind of seems inevitable that it would go that way. And that's awesome. Yeah. So tell me, like, what was your kind of journey like? I'm curious, there's so much variability in the ways, you know, people go about with like really specific and unique products like this, you know, going about getting manufacturing done and like dealing with all the logistics and fulfillment and things. What was your kind of journey like with that as you like, you know, started the scale and it got really big? Did you have any trouble with getting hold of manufacturers or dealing with the logistics and things? It seems to be more of a struggle for people like in the past few years than maybe it was in, you know, the big e-com boom, like 2017, 18 up to like 2020. So what was your kind of experience?
Yeah. So initially it started off, we were just formulating it in Jeremy's kitchen, just ordering a bunch of different herbs and blending them all together and then kind of selling it to friends and seeing, okay, what do you think about this blend or what do you think about that one? And once it really started to hit, we found a co-packer in Vancouver that was really reliable. They were awesome. It was kind of, they were just a bit slow. So we kind of had to gauge that. And then when we launched into the US, we were talking with a manufacturer who sold us the sun, the stars, and the moon, told us everything was going to be perfect. They were going to go quick. They were going to be cheap. They had all these certifications. And that got me really excited. And I think I kind of was looking at the situation with some rose colored glasses and didn't do enough due diligence. And after 2 months after we paid them and gave them all of our ingredients, the product still wasn't ready. We couldn't get a hold of the guy. We had no idea where it was actually getting manufactured. They had different addresses. And we honestly were like, did we just get completely screwed? And we ended up chasing this guy down. We found out that they had co-manufactured it and passed it off to someone else. And Jeremy drove 2.5 hours to go and find this manufacturing plant and was banging on the door. And finally, we ended up being able to like get our product back from them, brought it all to our fulfillment center, and then started to count it and sent it all. We realized that we were short about 50% of the order. We shipped out our pre-orders, got those out into our customers' hands as quickly as we could. We got our first video back on our review collection, and we were all excited, thinking, nice, someone sent us a review. We go to open the video, and they opened the pouch and it was full of air. We got completely screwed on by our manufacturer. They had shorted us our order, and then a significant amount of our pouches were completely empty. We thankfully had a reliable partner with our fulfillment partner. They went through, counted every single pouch, weighed every pouch to make sure which ones were empty. We turned off all of our sales. So we ended up going about a month of having to be on hold after we had just launched, which really just kind of like shot our momentum in the foot, but we couldn't sacrifice our brand reputation. Pulled anything that was empty off the shelves, got right back into sales. And then from there, it's kind of been, we're getting back into smooth sailings. But that was honestly like the biggest challenge we ran into was just...
It's a crazy pivot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So now we've been looking at trying to get our own manufacturing. We found a few other better partners that have been very helpful, very responsive, and finding partners who do auditing for manufacturers has been a huge help, and making sure that we are working with a partner and a manufacturing broker and not trying to just go with the fastest, cheapest guy. That was definitely a major lesson learned, but that's kind of the challenges that you run into when trying to scale, is trying to do it quickly and so there's still margin. But yeah, definitely learned a lot of lessons on that one. And definitely I'm glad that it happened to us now and not later down the road, where we would have lost out on a few millions of dollars. And now we've learned our lessons with the smaller batches. And now we know what to look for and what not to do on the bigger ones.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not the first time I've heard a story like that. So I always like to ask, because there seems to be like craziness, friction, and like, especially in manufacturing, it seems like fulfillment seems to be a little more smooth. I mean, I think like there's a lot of good, trustful companies out there that really have that figured out. But the manufacturing recently, I've just been hearing like horror stories like this. So yeah, that's crazy. But it's a good pivot. I mean, you guys seem to deal with it well. You did what you had to do. And we have a lot of entrepreneur listeners. I think it's really important for people to understand, like, these are the types of things that happen to you, and you just have to kind of do what you have to do. I mean, you can't just like, you can't sulk over it. You just got to drive 2.5 hours, bang on the door, and go get your stuff back. You know, it's like you would do in any other situation, right? No, that's awesome. So I guess I'm just curious too, when you think about, you know, scaling the business and, you know, maybe getting into wholesale, I mean, a lot of the brands that I speak to now, they seem to be taking a much more like omni-channel approach, where they're doing like, you know, 30% wholesale, 30% direct to consumer. Maybe there's some like subscription basis on some things, or like in 30% like Amazon or other marketplaces. I know you said you're, you know, kind of wary with, you know, doing wholesale, which like I totally understand, because I've heard, you know, crazy stories about that too. And especially with the advent of COVID, I mean, people realize your wholesale deals could just be completely stripped away at any given moment with something like, if something like that ever happened again. So do you exist on like Amazon or any other marketplaces, or are you, you know, interested in getting into that space as well?
We've been tempted to push into Amazon. Again, really, it's for us, it's all about just trying to focus as much as we can. So I feel like right now, the more that we try to spread, the more that we can get distracted and try to kind of spread our eggs across too many different channels. Amazon is definitely going to be up there on the list. It's really just like, we need to make sure that we have significant cash flow and that we're not trying to kind of jump the gun. Our category on Amazon is still pretty untapped. So I see that as there's a reason that there's not too many competitors in that space. The only people in our category that are on that space are the massive players in the game who have raised millions, if not tens of millions of dollars. So I kind of see that as first to market is sometimes beneficial, but a lot of the times it's an additional risk. So there's either not enough demand on that platform or there's not enough margin on it. So we're still kind of, we had products on Amazon in the Oasis days and then weren't seeing enough profitability to make it worth it and worth investing in that channel. And yeah, we kind of had that initial approach of going wide and then trying to kind of balance it all. And now it's really just about like dialing it in and going narrow and deep. And then I think honestly, within about a year or two, we'll start to expand into Amazon. We are pushing into marketplaces, more so on the side of like grocery subscriptions and gift boxes and that kind of stuff. There's some mushroom marketplaces that we're selling in. different adaptogen marketplaces. There's a one like mushroom and adaptogen marketplace that's been doing pretty well for us. But overall, yeah, trying to put as much of our focus into our own D2C channels that are driving profitability and driving brand and really allowing us to own the data that helps us grow, and then using that to help us kind of get more further into retail and other channels. Yeah, it's really just like trying to go step by step and not trying to go too wide too quick.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely makes sense. And there's so many advantages if you can really carve out a really successful D2C channel and, you know, just the connection that you have to your customers, all the data that you're able to get, the way you're able to communicate with your customers and get feedback. And to that point, like a product like this, no, people are kind of, I think, aware of adaptogens and the benefits through, like, you know, maybe, you know, some other like huge big player brands, like you say, that have like tens of millions of dollars to spend on ads and things. And I know you also mentioned your message isn't really like, stop doing coffee, like this is why coffee's bad and like here's the alternative. But, you know, in this adaptogenic space, there's obviously room for, you know, consumer education. I think obviously the people are probably interested in knowing those things. So what's your kind of angle with that? Obviously, like, there's great information on the website because I saw it myself, but you know, say somebody, you know, just finds a website, they just order it real quick, you know, what kind of angles do you use to help people like get more involved with, you know, understanding adaptogens and, you know, realizing like maybe the dangers of, you know, a really high caffeine intake? Like, what kind of channels are you utilizing to for like education that way?
Yeah, so we're really leaning into thought leader content. So, I mean, Jeremy, for example, has been studying adaptogens and testing every single product that's ever come out on the market pretty much for at least the last 10 years. And then for myself, I've been heavily in research and into it for the last like 5 years or so. So both ourselves sharing content on our own platforms and within the Nah Coffee and Oasis channels around like what we know about it and kind of sharing different research studies, as well as showcasing other thought leaders like Andrew Huberman, for example, is one who speaks a lot about adaptogens, who is a very trustworthy name and face in this and overall the health space. So showcasing different people who already have that authority and kind of bringing those together to show like, hey, these people who you already trust are talking about the things that are in our product. And that's one angle we go. Also showing like the lab results, the research reports, all being super accessible on our website, making it so that any information that you want to find, you can come through us to be able to find it. And then we've also started just recently pushing outward into some of the other journalists and different health educators to send them product, get them talking about it as well, and help them drive their audience towards us. We're working on some interesting affiliate partnerships with some health thought leaders as well. That's kind of our next main channel, is pushing into the health thought leadership. And then, yeah, overall, just kind of being there, being available to answer questions. Like, I'm very, very open on social media. Like, if you have any questions about the product or any of the ingredients that we use, feel free to reach out and we'll always respond. Like, whether it's a text, a DM, a call, we're always there to be able to help. Like, that's our whole mission, is to be able to help people. So really just making sure that we're accessible. And if we can answer the question, I'll go in and research and find the answer to them and be able to share articles or recommend them someone who might be able to help them. Yeah, that's really our approach to the education side.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. So let me ask you this. One question I always love to ask everybody that comes on the pod, you know, obviously you've had some success here. I did kind of a pivot with your, you know, main brand at one point. So just thinking everything you've learned, you know, operating this brand and everything you've learned on the adaptogenic side, on the marketing side of a product like this, you know, if you can go back to kind of your like day one with this, you know, with this brand, whether it's working with Oasis or working with the Nah Coffee brand, what would be like one big piece of advice you would give yourself? If you can go back and kind of like be at the beginning with all the trials, tribulations, and everything you've gone through up to this point.
Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. The biggest issues that we ran into were when we were trying to go fast and we were trying to save money. And it's usually one or the other that you trade. If you're trying to go fast, you spend more. And if you're trying to save, it's going to take longer. So if you don't have a ton of money to invest and really like pay for that speed, then just allow things to progress a little bit slower and be a bit more careful. Know when it's worth it to try and expedite the pace of things and when it's really necessary to kind of go a little bit slower. Like, I'm very glad now in hindsight that we took as long as we did to get to market. Initially, it was like, oh, we can spin the brand out and get into market in 2 months. And that was our initial timeline. And then that turned into 10 months. But overall, I'm very glad that we did that because it allowed us to really validate the brand, understand it deeper, get to be able to really refine our messaging, understand deeper who our customer was. All those kind of pieces were so extremely valuable that if we had tried to go too quickly, we wouldn't have gained all those insights. We wouldn't have learned the lessons with manufacturing. We would have gotten a little bit further and then gotten burned. So yeah, just really kind of gauging like when to try and go fast and when it's really necessary to kind of slow the brakes, ease your way into certain things. And especially when it's something like a consumable, like I've been in the CPG space for time now, and that's not something that you want to rush. When it's something that people are putting in their body, it's definitely very, very important to go very, very like steady at a slow pace and be very careful as you approach it. But then there's certain things like in e-commerce, if it's launching a new channel, that's where it's like, okay, go quickly. We're getting into TikTok shop. It's like, we go into manic mode. Let's pump out as much content as we can. That's just like, go fast and get as much out there as we can and then start to refine it. So it's really just kind of balancing that teeter totter of like what things need to kind of progress slowly and what things can we go as fast as we can, and just really finding that balance in the teeter totter there.
It's a really interesting point, especially you mentioned with like you're trying to get on TikTok, you just want to push out as much content as you can. I think it's interesting because like you should be sprinting towards the things where like the trial and error, basically, like there's really no downside there. You know, trial and error, like trying to find a manufacturing partner, that can be very costly, especially if you do it, you know, too far down the line, you make a big mistake on that front, it could cost you millions instead of maybe a couple $10,000. So I think that's a really good, you know, message for folks to hear. We have a lot of, you know, young entrepreneurs, I think, that listen to the pod. And that's something I hear, I will say, from other, you know, CPG brands as well. And I think it's really important today because all you see on, you know, Instagram and TikTok is a lot of these brands that are like, you know, just pumping money into their advertisements to get in front of your face. All you see is like overnight success. You know, I use this example. I can't remember his handle or his name, but I always see this kid on Instagram. It's like, I made $1 million last week selling envelopes to grandmas on Facebook. It's like, wow, like that's great. But I'm sure like that's not the whole story. I'm sure like you tried this for a really long time and it didn't work out. And now that it is, it's like, oh yeah, here's overnight success, even though it was probably like 2 years really like beforehand. Right. So I think it's a really important message for people to understand, especially, you know, as you say, in the CPG space. I mean, people putting things into their body, like one, it's important for like from a safety aspect of things, but also it's something that people could get very turned off of and never come back, you know, with things like this. So yeah, I think it's a really good point. I appreciate that. So I just want to give you a quick opportunity as well before we get off here to, you know, just shout out your brand, the socials, the website, you know, any new things, you know, any way, you know, people can stay in touch with you. Or I know you say sound like you're pretty transparent, you like, you know, interacting with your customers directly. So, you know, let people know if anybody listens, they want to get in touch with you, just stay in touch with the brand. Let everybody know the best way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of our handles are at Drink Not Coffee. Best channel to get us on right now is TikTok Shop. We have amazing offers on there, and that's the fastest way you're going to get the product. If there's any questions at all about the product, the brand, any of the ingredients, how it might integrate with your lifestyle, I'm always available, whether it's Instagram. You can find my number directly on our website to text me or send us a DM. I'll always be the one there answering. And again, if I can't provide an answer right off the bat, I'll point you to a professional who will, or I'll find a resource for you. And yeah, right now, honestly, our main goal is more sips. We want more people trying the product. So if you're hesitant or curious about it, you can send me a DM. I'll make sure you get some free product. And yeah, overall, we just really want more people to try this, more people to give us feedback, and more people to recognize that they don't need coffee to survive. And that there are better alternatives and better options out there for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you, James. I just want to say thank you for your time again. I really appreciate you coming on, and we should continue success.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Really appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. Awesome.